morning. Thank you for your time. My name is Doug Soldat. I'd like to start off by acknowledging my co-author, who worked very closely with me on this collaborative research project, looking at using automated digital image analysis for several color quantification of several colorimetric reactions. So colorimetric reactions, based on the Beer-Lambert law, simply correlating the concentration of a species with the amount of absorbance that occurs, which absorbance is calculated as the log of the intensity of the incoming or the original light source at a certain wavelength divided by the intensity of that wavelength after passing through the sample. So fairly straightforward calculation. You run a standard curve, set up some knowns, and then you can calculate unknowns. The problem with, well, actually the development of the Latchett automated systems and ICP has led to a great reduction in people running colorimetric methods in their labs. So you're outsourcing these samples at a cost anywhere from $2 to $20 per sample. However, with the development of the multi-channel pipettes, microplates, and plate readers from biotech, these have there's kind of been a resurgence of people running colorimetric reactions in their own labs because you can do them quickly, relatively cheaply, and reduced cost because we're using less reagent, reduced waste stream when the colorimetric reagents are toxic. So we're seeing a resurgence in this. The problem, I guess, if there is a problem, is that the microplate readers are still very expensive. So an introductory model is going to start at around $10,000. So that's the cost-limiting step. So the question we had, for my PhD project, I was running thousands of colorimetric samples, and I realized my eyes were really good at predicting what the sample was going to be. So the color that you see probably could work. So here's a 16-bit RGB model where the color is just a representation of combination of R, G, and B intensity. So if 16-bit, that's 2 to the 16th possible combinations of red, green, and blue. And then this is the additive color model. So full intensity is white, zero intensity is black, and then you get your combination of red and green equals yellow. So can we use RGB values to replace the absorbance at a specific wavelength? So for RGB, there's a perfect analog for absorbance. So the log of, instead of the log of the intensity of the wavelength of light, you're looking at the log of 2 to the 16th, which is the maximum possible intensity, divided by the actual intensity of R, G, and B, and that would be absorbance. So we could say that's absorbance on the computer in quotation marks. So for example, this is a purple color here, this box. When I go into PowerPoint, which uses an 8-bit color model, so there's 256 is the maximum intensity for R, G, and B, it tells me in the Microsoft PowerPoint, when I choose this purple, it'll tell you what the color is. It happens to be 117 for red, 41 for green, and 123 for blue. So you can calculate the absorbance of those things. So the absorbance for the red channel is 0.3, and so forth. And then when we look at the yellow, that's full intensity red, full intensity green, so very low absorbance. And then the blue channel, which is very low, has a very high absorbance. So setting up that, you know, so you can conceptualize how we're comparing this to traditional absorbance. So the reason we think this is going to work is because there's a high degree of autocorrelation in the optical density over the given range of wavelengths. So this is a figure from the original Murphy-Riley paper for the absorption curves. And you can see what visible light is, what, 400 to 700 nanometers? So R, G, and B are encompassing approximately about 100 nanometers. When you look on this, you see that within 100 nanometers, they're relatively similar. They're very highly autocorrelated. There's not a big difference in the absorbance as the wavelength changes. Very highly autocorrelated. So again, the hypothesis is, because of that, digital image analysis can be used to quantify several colorimetric reactions, which would result in a cost savings. And then I'll talk about this, but it's also a really good tool for educational uses, for high schools, for labs that can't afford plate readers but want to give students access to the methods and give them an understanding for how colorimetric reactions work. So what we did is we took a computer, ImageJ software, which is open source, developed by NIH. There's an analog program for the Mac, so it's a free download. And an Epson Perfection 4990 transparency scanner was used. Any transparency scanner should work, but it is important that it has to be a transparency scanner. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And that retailed at $375, so we're talking very inexpensive relative to a spectrophotometer. So what we did is we ran methods following standard procedures for a handful of colorimetric reactions, and we analyzed them on this Biotech PowerWave microplate spectrophotometer, and then immediately following ran it on the Epson scanner to capture a digital image. So this is a screenshot of the ImageJ software. So what you do is when you open up an image in ImageJ, it splits it into red, green, and blue channels. So everything's black and white. So white would be basically full intensity red, and this darker color would be very low intensity red. So what I'm going to do now is click through red, green, and blue, and keep your eyes on this image and watch how that changes. So green, little less absorbance, and then the blue, not much is going on. So great, that's fine, but somehow we need to get the RGB value from every single one of these wells into a data format that we can analyze quickly, and we don't want to do it by hand. So Phil Brock, the co-author, wrote a very elegant macro which takes a region of interest, which is, you can see it right here, and in this example it happened to encompass 424 pixels. So there's 424 data points in here, actually times 3 because you have an RGB for each pixel. And then this will run through each of the slices, R, G, and B, and put the data into this spreadsheet. It takes less than a minute to collect all the data. So this is 424 pixels. This is a fairly low resolution scan. You could, that's something you could vary with the macro and get a larger amount of pixels. So that the data is... So then the data, you can do another number of things with those 424 pixels. We chose to take the median of it. In case there's some dust or a speck, median is presumably much more robust than a mean. So we're taking the medians of R, G, and B for that region of interest in each microplate well, copying into Microsoft Excel, and then calculating absorbance like I talked about earlier in the presentation. So then what we want to do is compare the absorbance from the RGB channels to the absorbance that we saw on the traditional microplate reader. So the Murphy and Riley for phosphate, you can see this is what a typical plate would be. This is standard curves. And you see the color blue development, which means blue is being reflected, so you're expecting high absorbance in red and green. And if you're familiar with this procedure, you're actually reading it in the infrared, which is non-visible. And this is what we saw. So on the x-axis is the absorbance units at 850 nanometers, a traditional method. And on the y is the absorbance units for the red, green, or blue channel. And those are the red, green, and blue lines. So yeah, just as we'd expect, the highest slope, the steepest slope, the most sensitive channel in this case is red. Green is slightly less sensitive. Blue, even though you looked at that image, you didn't see much going on in there, but that's picking up something there. So there was something going on there. You could use something like principal component analysis to get the variation. We tried that, but 99.9% of the variation is in a single channel. So the other important thing to look at here is the slope. So for every one unit, the slope here for the red channel is 0.23. For every one unit of change in the spectrophotometer, we're only getting 0.23 units of change in the red channel. So that's an indicator of how sensitive that is. Ammonium by Nelson, 1983. Very, very good slope, 0.2. In the red channel, not much going on in the green and the blue. But again, we see, and you know, I forgot to note that R squares that we found are unbelievable, 0.999 in most cases, 0.997. These are, and this is, there was no, we did one plate and we ran it. There was no scrubbing of the data. All these images are the only time we ever did this stuff. So and you can see there's some spills and imperfections. So the correlations really came out very well. Urea by Greenman et al. 1995. See, there's a sensitive green channel, but it becomes nonlinear at some point. Blue channel could be used very linear. And you know, the slope goes from 0.18 for the green channel down to 0.07 for that blue channel. Absolutely nothing going on in the red, which is what you expect when you see that the color of development is red. Bromide. So this is what a non-transparency scan will look like. So this is why you need a transparency scan. So the light source is at the top and the detector's at the bottom. So you just get this single pass through. If you use a reflectance scan, you get a lot of shadowing, and that's just not going to work. So the data on the left is from a transparency scan. I just wanted to show what a reflectance scan is going to look like and why this technique is, you know, there's a lot, if you look at the image, there's a lot of, you can see white reflected from the surface of the microplate wells and things like that. So transparency scan is key to this process. Again, you can find a channel with a decent slope and a very high R-squared, very high correlation with the absorbance at specific wavelength again. So nitrate, we use this a relatively unknown method, 4-diphenylbenzidine 4-sulfonic acid, which is available through PolySciences. And this is the color development is a 50-50 mix of concentrated sulfuric and phosphoric acid. So that's a chemical that you'd like, you know, you don't want to use that in large batches. So this is the advantage of using these small scale developments, so reducing the waste stream. Anyway, we found sensitivity from 0.5 to 20 parts per million. And again, the same story continues. So very high correlation. Slope is 0.3 in this case. So all the methods that we tested had at least one channel that was highly significant and fairly sensitive in the R, G, or B channels. So something else we just quickly investigated was a non-colorimetric method. So a gravimetric method for potassium exists. So is it possible to quantify precipitation using this method, something that you couldn't do with the spectrophotometer? I think so. You'd have to work on a new macro, but there are other uses for using scanners with these microplates that need to be explored. So in summary, excellent correlations found for all the methods we tested for at least one of the RGB channels. And in conclusion, we're concluding that digital image analysis has a great potential to be used for inexpensive colorimetric reactions for researchers on a tight budget. I'm a turf grass extension specialist. I do a lot of applied research, a lot of samples. I need to analyze them relatively inexpensively. And again, as an educational tool, I think this is a very good method to introduce students to the Beer-Lambert law and give them experience using multi-channel pipettes and analytical methods. So in conclusion, I thank you for your time. And if we're out of time for questions, so you can catch me afterwards.
Thank you.